Hi, this is Karen from County Fairgrounds USA, countyfairgrounds.net in Denver. We're talking today to Jack Green from the Grand Ole Opry. He's a famous country star and music legend. Hi, Jack.
Hello, Karen. How are you doing, dear?
Well, it's snowing here, so...
Really? It's snowing?
Yeah, I'm in the middle of the Rocky Mountains.
Oh, yeah. Well, all right. Well, I know it is beautiful out there.
Oh, it's gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. I have deer in my front yard.
Deer in your front yard?
I do. Yeah, big ones. And sometimes elk. Anyway, I heard that you used to play the drums for Ernest Tubb. So can you tell me how that got started?
That's how I got my start, was with Ernest Tubb. I worked with him for 5 years.
Okay. And how did you happen to get to work for him?
Well, Jack Drake was my old friend that used to come down to Atlanta, where I lived at that time. He used to come down, and every time he'd say, "When are you going to move to Nashville? When are you going to move to Nashville?" And I said, "I can't. I got kids, and I got a good job here and all that." So one time he said, "When are you going to move to Nashville?" And I said, "Well, how much does it pay?" He said, "Well, you'll make enough." So I came up with Ernest, and I worked with Ernest for 5 years, and then he told me to do that on my own, son. He said I had a number one record and sitting back there playing drums with Ernest.
Oh,
it was good.
That sounds like fun.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun. Well, you had Cal Smith and Buddy Charlton and Leon Rhodes and all them boys, and they was great singers and players, and we always had a good time with Ernest.
How long did you do that, play for him?
I worked with Ernest for a little over 5 years.
Okay.
And I'm still on the Opry now with the Grand Ole Opry, if I'm in town, and we try to do work on the road. That's where the money is, on the road. And we still do the Opry. This weekend we're doing the Opry.
So tell me the story. I hear that Ernest threw you off a bus at one point. So you want to tell me that story?
Yeah. Well, we were driving. We had done a one night all nighter because we had 3 days set up in the Northeast, and we did the first set and Ernest didn't come out. We did the second set and he didn't come out. We did the third set and he didn't come out. So Jack Drake said, "Well, boys, let's go home. Ernest is not going, ain't going to do it." So we went back to Nashville, and on the way back, he kept telling me what problems I had. You know, Ernest come up and sit down beside me. Said, "Move." He called me Big Ears. He said, "Move over, Big Ears. I got some problems for you. Got some things to talk to you about." So he started telling me all my problems, and I said, "Well, Ernest, I got some problems, but I got some you can't handle." He said, "Well, when we get to Nashville, you no longer work for Ernest Tubb." I said, "I can get off the bus now." He said, "Stop the bus." So they stopped the bus, and I started walking, and I heard later that they was betting on how many was betting I would come back on, how many was betting I would not go back on. Anyway, I walked. They took off, and I started walking, and I walked until daylight. And I guess it was about midnight when we left there. And I walked until daylight, and I walked up to a little all-night diner. And there's a little lady in there. I said, "Do you mind if I sit here for a while?" She said, "No." And I said, "Does the bus come by?" She said, "Yeah, it comes by at 5:30. And I said, "Do you mind if I stay here and drink coffee until he gets here?" "No, we don't mind at all." So when the bus pulled up, you know who was on the bus? Cal Smith was on the bus. He had got kicked off, too. So, Ernest, there was a lot that happened at that time, but, you know, one of the greatest things is Ernest never took another drink.
Mm. Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, he told us that he was sorry that we did what we did, and he would never do it again, and he never took another drink, and he kept me, and he made me and Cal get out on our own, and he took both of us, and we both had their own thing with MCA at that time.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's a wonderful story. I hear that you, Owen Bradley, was one of the most famous record producers of our time. So how did you enjoy having him produce you? And how did you get involved with him?
Yeah, Owen was a great man. He helped a lot of people.
So did you enjoy having him produce you?
Yeah, he was great. Owen Bradley was a great producer, yeah. He was great. Took the he told me which is the best songs and the ones that wouldn't make it and all that, you know. He's a good man.
So how did you get involved with him, Jack?
Well, when I was working with Ernest, he was still working with Ernest too. Owen was working with Ernest at the same time. And so when Ernest got me back on with Owen Bradley, it was because that I got kicked off. I walked all night to go back to where the bus was, you know.
Mm.
But it was just something that turned out real good for me because Owen felt he had a problem with his drinking and all that, and he tried to make it back up to Cal and myself, and he did good for us.
Okay, what about Statue of Fool?
Oh, we carried that around for a long time. 9 years I carried that around. It was fast, and every time I'd been doing it, Owen Bradley said, "You're a ballad singer, son." So finally, one day we had cut four things, and he come out of the studio and he said, "Well, so far we got nothing." I said, "You're right." And he said, "What's that old song you've been trying to get me to record all these years?" I said, "I'll go get the tape." And he said, "No, I want you to sit down here and sing it." And so he told everybody to take a break, and he said, "You're a ballad singer. Let's turn it around." So he, instead of doing it fast, we turned it slow, and we took one take. And we went out of time, and we had two or three mistakes in it, but nobody ever knows it but me. But it worked great. Owen Bradley was a great man.
Oh, that's nice, Jack.
Ernest Tubb was a great man, too.
Here's a good question that has an effect on some of the things that I do. I'm always getting approached by new country western people. You know, they want to be famous, and they want to sing, and they want to make lots of money. So this is your 60th anniversary entertaining. What advice could you give some of these new artists who are just starting out?
Well, the main thing is know your own songs and write your own songs if you can. If you can't write them, then sing them right, you know. But it's always a good way to meet people on the road all the time, and get in these places where you can sing and let the people hear you. It's a wonderful way to make a living, you know.
Oh, it can be a little hard too, I understand.
Yeah, it can be. You can always, you know, like I said, one time we were 3.5 months away, and my kids and my wife just left, you know. So there's always something that you have to work on, you know, and change, you know.
Okay, you were the first country star to sing in the Macy's Day Parade. What did you sing, and how did you get into that? That's cool.
Well, Owen Bradley was one of those guys. He knew everybody up in Northeast, you know, and he got a hold of them people up there, and the four guys and all, that bunch was in a show too, and we all did our song there. We did a live show. Up and down the highway.
Oh.
It was fun.
Was it cold?
It was cold. It really was. It was in the wintertime.
Okay.
It was nice.
All right, yeah. So you're celebrating your 40th year as a member of the Grand Ole Opry. How do you feel about that?
I feel good about it. I have loved the Opry ever since I came here, and I thank Ernest Tubb every day for what he did for me and Owen Bradley and people like that that helped me get on here and still here today, and the opera is still going, and I thank God for that.
I see that, you know, you're going to have a special performance 40th anniversary on December 8th. Are you excited?
I really am excited about that because I've got a lot of people coming in, and we're going to be at the Midnight Jamboree over in where everybody. We always do it in the midnight. What do you call it? The midnight show.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a lot of people coming in, so I don't know where we're going to put them all. But if everybody comes and said they would be there, there's going to be a lot of people there. But I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun.
I understand you're 78, Jack. Do you feel like you're kind of mellowing out like a bottle of fine wine?
Yeah, I guess you'd call it that. Yeah, it's been nice. It really has.
Okay, I see that you recorded a Christmas CD, and they can buy it at jackgreenopry.com. So what took you? What took you so long to record a Christmas CD? Because most stars, you know, they usually record one earlier in their career.
Well, I did earlier, way back in the years. I did some gospel things, but I don't know. It just seemed like we, these producers, you know, you have to do what they tell you to do.
Yeah, they supposedly know what they're.
I would pick out the songs that I loved, and but I had to do the songs that Owen Bradley wanted.
Yeah, they supposedly know what they're doing, I guess.
Yeah, the man. You have to do what your manager tells you. You know.
Yeah. Now you got a good manager, Jack.
Yeah, I had a good manager. I still got one. Leanna Lalonde's my manager now.
Okay.
And she's a wonderful lady, and we've been working together now for about 5.5 years, and everything's working out good.
So I hear you're doing a new double duet CD titled Precious Memories and Treasured Friends, and it's due out sometime in the fall of 2008. So I guess you're going to have a lot of guest singers on this CD. So you want to tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, we're going to, everybody that wants to sing a song on it, we're going to get them, because a lot of them has already said they will, and, you know, all my friends that's been around is going to do it. So it's going to be everybody that wants to put a song on there, we'll do it.
I have to ask you, Jack, as a parting question here, with everything that you have been through, and I'm sure you've had some wonderful experiences and some bad experiences, would you do it all again?
Oh, yeah, I'd do it again. It's been great. I loved it. And, you know, the greatest thing is you see your friends on the road all the time, and they tell you that how much they love them old songs, and it's good to see friends that I've had on the road ever since 1961. So it's been great to have those people still out there with us and wanting to hear those songs.
Well, you know, I'm sure our audience will all tune in now and look forward to seeing you on December 8th, and congratulations, and it's been wonderful talking to you.
Are you going to be there?
Oh, I'm going to try, Jack. Maybe I can.
We'd love to have you, huh?
Oh, okay. Sounds good. Maybe I can do that. I would really like to try. Maybe I can do that.
Okay, good. All right.
All right. Thanks, Jack. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
An image of a man who let love slip through his hands and then just let him stand there all alone. And there on his face a gold tear should be placed to honor the million tears he's cried. And the hurt in his eyes would show so everyone would know. Concealed is a broken heart inside. So build a statue and oh, build it high so that all can see. Then inscribe the world's greatest fool and name it after me. Thank you.